Our study this morning comes from Luke chapter 12, as we'll begin with verse 35 and be going through verse 40. So let's notice together Luke 12, beginning with verse 35. Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch or in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not suffered his house to be broken through. Be therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Well, this is our Lord's parable. We could entitle A Parable of Watchfulness. The Greek word parabole denotes a placing beside, to throw or lay beside, to compare, according to Bynes. And we can understand that it's parallel when you're having something familiar with the unfamiliar, the physical with the spiritual, in other words. Well, our Lord and Savior used parables many times as he was teaching precious truth, and he would, of course, give the purpose of parables to his disciples, and you can read that in Matthew 13, 10 through 17. Well, I think most of us can relate to this. We are able to put to memory great lessons from God's Word. For example, the Good Samaritan, who is my neighbor? He's the one that's in need. That would be anyone that is in need, and I can help them. Well, what about the talents? The one talent man went and hid his talent, did nothing with it, and that displeased his master when he returned. And what about the four types of soils? Yes, four different hearts represented. We want to have the good and honest heart, do we not? So these are parables we remember, and the lessons that we learn from them. Certainly we want to apply those to our lives. So our study this morning will begin in just a moment concerning a parable of watchfulness. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to PFE, and we all know that stands for Preparing for Eternity, the most important thing we could be doing. Now, we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street, right here in Martinsville, as we study God's precious Word in our Bible classes. Then as we assemble together to worship God, we're striving to do so in spirit and in truth. That would be having a good attitude and in accordance to the New Testament pattern, John 4:24. I can assure you, you will receive a very warm welcome. Something else to mention, we're always looking forward to having Bible studies and setting that up at your convenience. So we'll look forward to hearing from you if you would desire to have that Bible study. Now, something else. If you have Bible questions, comments, they're always appreciated. Comments, positive or negative. Again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. And One other thing we need to mention, no, two. Our website address first, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, number two, we're having a booth at the fair this year. That would be July the 5th, I believe, going through the 13th. We have this set up for the, I believe it's the Merchants Building, where we'll have our booth, Lord willing, and members will be there in the evening and later hours of the day, and have materials to hand out free, of course, Bible materials, good sound material, Bible correspondence courses, if you would like to start those, and of course we'll look forward to meeting you. And something I really look forward to, meeting listeners of the program, and also of course meeting anyone that stops by the booth. So, well, let's get into our study of Luke 12:35 through 40, as we're entitling this lesson "A Parable of Watchfulness." So we'll ask this question: what does the parable teach? Well, starting out with verse 35, the Lord said, "Gird up the loins." Yes, let your loins be girded, which means to be ready, to be diligent, to be active. The long robes they wore in the biblical days had to be drawn up as they were needing to move quickly or do some work. Soldiers wore belts above the waist. So this is what this is relating to. Now, verse 36, the Lord of the house is away at a wedding, but the servants are to be ready to open the door immediately when he returns. And their lamps were to be burning in the parable of the 10 virgins, remember in Matthew 25, 1 through 13. Well, 5 were foolish and 5 were wise. We want to be of the wise, have our lights burning, that is, to be prepared, to be ready. The 5 that were prepared took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. The 5 that were unprepared, they were doing what? Sleeping. They slumbered and slept. We don't want to be caught unprepared when the Lord returns. Notice, they were to be ready at the first knock. Matthew 24:44, "Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh." Yes, that's right. And these servants needed to be there, to be ready and prepared to greet their master when he returned. Now notice verse 37. "Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching." Well, blessed are those servants who are prepared, of course. As we know, the Apostle Paul, as he was writing to Timothy in the second letter, inspired letter, the Apostle Paul made this known in chapter 4. Let's notice verses 6 through 8. "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." We want to be of those who love his appearing when the Lord returns, do we not? Well, we certainly should. And so, blessed are those servants, those who are prepared. They've been faithful. They've lived a good life before God. serving Him faithfully. Yes, following the Word of God, having it in their hearts, living it out in their lives, that's what we want to be involved in. So they are blessed because they will be honored guests. The Lord shall gird Himself and make them to sit down to meat and will come forth to serve them. Well, we need to appreciate this because in John chapter 13, 4 through 15, we know, of course, the Lord certainly made Himself as a servant and washed the feet, the dirty, smelly feet of His disciples. As there was no one to take on that task when they came in to eat, and they would recline, and you can imagine having someone's feet that was dirty right next to you as you're trying to eat. Have you ever smelled someone that wore like tennis shoes that had been in the locker for a long time, or in the socks, or, well, anyway, you get the point. I had that experience, my wife and I, as we were on a train one time. We had to stand by the window. It was that bad. Oh, boy. Well, let's go on. And notice, in verse 38, here's the second or third watch. The Romans divided the night into four watches. When I was in the Navy, we had two-hour watches during the night. I remember in boot camp, marching around the clothesline, keeping an eye on the clothes. Well, they were hanging out there, of course. So that just came to mind. Well, this is, of course, the time being uncertain. The second or third watch. It's not clear which one. And you go to Matthew 24, verse 36, and we'll notice this together. But of that day, an hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Now, why do people today say that the Lord is coming soon? Well, do they know that? No, they don't know that. Times are bad. You can say, well, it may be that the Lord will come, but it may not be the time. You see, this verse is so clear, no one should miss it. And I don't know why. I've heard preachers recently on the radio saying the Lord is coming soon. Well, according to this verse, you don't know that. We don't know what hour the Lord will come, nor the day. But the point is to be ready when He does come. That's the thrust of the matter here, isn't it? Well, it should be for all of us to see this. Yes. The time is uncertain. Now, notice verse 39. The good man of the house, if he knew a thief was coming, surely he would be ready and watching. The homes were made of stone or clay. Roofs were clay or thatch and thus easily broken into in those biblical days. So this shows the need for watchfulness, the necessity of defending one's own home and family, does it not? Jesus firmly established the vital teaching of watchfulness, being ready by being prepared for Christ's return. So this parable the Lord taught on watchfulness should get our attention. And so we'll put it into application. Now let's ask the question, well, why is there a need for watchfulness? Because Satan is on the loose. 1 Peter 5, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. He hides, deceives, and attacks. Yes, in Genesis, in the garden, he hid his identity as the serpent. And of course, he deceives as the angel of light. he's presented as. And then here, as we just read, he attacks. So let's be prepared. And to be prepared, we must what? Watch. 2 Corinthians 2:11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. We can fall, any of us. Doesn't matter how long we've been in the church, what position of leadership we may hold, or the wife of the preacher, the elders' wives, the deacons and the deacons' wives, and so forth. Every member of the church, in other words, any of us can fall. Hebrews 3:12-13. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. It's easy to be deceived, is it not? With so many things around us today in society, we have to be careful. We have to be alert. We have to watch. Be watchful. That's what we're presenting in this lesson today, is it not? The thrust is be watchful. Let us watch and be prepared by putting on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Ephesians 6:11. So now, let's ask this question. What are some lessons for us today as we've looked at this parable of watchfulness? Well, we must watch for moral problems, such as social drinking. Some people think it's all right to drink a little as long as you don't overdo it. Well, one drink, you're one drink drunk. You're in a process of getting drunker as you consume more alcohol beverages. And so, don't take that first drink, in other words. Wine is a mocker, and strong drink is raging. He that is deceived thereby is unwise, Proverbs 21. Let's not drink at all. And certainly as a Christian, it's sinful. And it's sinful for those outside the church. They just don't realize it. But we certainly should, and help people see that it's in the Word of God that we're not to do so. Well, what about drugs? It affects the mind, of course, causes people to hallucinate. People commit suicide. There's a problem with fentanyl today. Just on and on we could go. Young people need to know about the dangers. We need to watch for these things. What about suggestive dancing? Yes, there is dancing that may not be suggested, but a lot of it, probably most of it, is. And we're not to participate in such things, lasciviousness. What about immodest apparel? You go to the grocery store and it's everywhere, isn't it? People are shedding their clothes because it's summertime now. People go swimming together, mixed men and women together, wearing little of nothing, and think that it's all right because we're swimming. Well, it's immodest apparel any way you want to look at it, and we shouldn't be looking at it. Is that not the point coming from the Word of God? Now, I'm not being popular by mentioning these things, but am I to seek popularity or please God? I need to preach the truth. I need to practice it myself. What about pornography? This is a great problem. And so many people get addicted, and it's just causing so many problems. The homosexuality promotion, transgenderism promotion is going on all around us. And so we need to watch for moral problems. Gambling, Now, in some states, of course, it's been legal for some time. And I could just go on and on. So that's something to watch for. The influence, of course, of liberal teachers. The media has an influence on us all. Television, it has lulled many to sleep. Remember the example of the frog in the kettle? Slowly turn the heat up, and he's boiled before he knows it. Are we in that kettle getting boiled? We better not be. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore shall they fall among them that fall in the time of their visitation. They shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Jeremiah 8:12. 1 Timothy 2:9-10. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. This would apply to men just as well. With shamefacedness and sobriety. Not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. That's what we need. What are our young people getting from the modern music, the lyrics? What messages are they getting as they watch sitcoms? Well, to maintain one's virginity until marriage? Are they getting that message? No. Are they getting respect for authority? No. What about wholesome speech? No, they're getting that which is from the devil. How many of us are having family devotions, teaching our children about godliness instead of allowing them to spend hours seeing and hearing ungodliness? We must watch for doctrinal problems as well. This is something else we need to watch. Watch for doctrinal problems. 2 Timothy 4, let's notice 2 through 4. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Do we prefer fables to the Word of God, to the truth? Hopefully no one does. But there are preachers, even in the church, the Lord's church, turning many of our brethren to fables. And this is a problem because many elders have gone to sleep at the watch. And that's something that needs to be dealt with. Of course, Titus 1:11-13. False teachers, unfortunately, do not wear a sign, but they come in what? Sheep's clothing, Jesus said in Matthew 7:15. Some of the current problems facing the church today are grace only, faith only. That's a dead faith. And that's cheapening God's grace to think that we don't do anything to accept the gift of salvation. We must submit to the gospel of Christ. The woman's role, so many are not following what God's word says. The woman is not to usurp the authority over the man. She's not to be preaching with men present or teaching with men present. In a class, certainly the women's class, that's wonderful. Teaching the children, as long as no men are present, that's wonderful, needed. What about unity in diversity? Here's another problem facing the church. We need to stay with the truth. You can't compromise the truth. Well, some have taught everything you do is worship. How in the world can you believe such things as that? When you go to the restroom, that's not worship. And anyone should understand that. One cannot really know the truth is something else that's facing the church. Our young people need to know this when they go off to school. Truth is objective. It's not subjective. It's not relative. It's objective truth, absolute truth. And we need to know that and teach it. Yes, and many other things could we talk about, such as marriage, divorce, and remarriage. This is another problem facing the church. Christians are amenable to Matthew 19:9. There's one scriptural grounds for putting away an unfaithful spouse, one who is guilty of fornication. And the innocent spouse then can, with that grounds, scripturally put one of their spouse away that's guilty. And we need to know these things to teach them in the congregations. And now there's teaching about heaven on earth. Such false doctrine as this. Well, the Bible answers all these problems. And if we would keep watch as we've been studying this morning, these false teachings would not get a foothold in the church. And we need to stay strong, stay steadfast in the Word of God, having roots going down. Now, notice Jesus said in John 8:31-32 to those disciples that believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Do we know the truth? Are we in the Word of God and staying with his authority, the Lord's authority? "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." 2 Timothy 4:5, the Apostle Paul writing by inspiration to Timothy, the young evangelist. Are we watching, or have we gone to sleep? On the last day, the day of judgment, it shall be as Jesus said, "Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when cometh, shall find watching." How can I be ready if I'm not ready now? By obeying the gospel. If I have not done so, I need to submit to the doctrine of Christ. Learn the truth. Study the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10:17. I'm ready now to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the only begotten Son of God. John 8:24. Having believed that Jesus is the Christ, I'm motivated, ready to do his will and repent, changing my way of life, submitting to God's way, and giving up my way. I'm going to change my mind, of way of thinking, and get out of sin and walk in the light. Now that I've repented, I'm ready to make the good confession unto salvation. Romans 10:9-10. I'm stating that I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. Having made that good confession, now I'm ready to be immersed into the watery grave of baptism, where I contact the precious blood of Christ, as Ananias told Saul, later Paul, "Why tarest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling upon the name of the Lord." That is submitting to his authority. Yes, we stand ready to assist you in obeying the gospel, and we thank you so much for listening today.